Good morning. I have two questions for you, Bernard, to start with. Have you ever been on a trip and someone asked you how it was? And you're like, ah, it was great. Everything was perfect. It was just the scenery was gorgeous. But the air conditioning in the hotel wasn't working and it was really hot at night. Or have you ever been to a movie and they said, how was the movie? And it was a thriller. It was great. I was on the edge of my seat. But the guy in back of me was eating his popcorn so loud, that's all I could hear. That little word, but. And that's how my chapter starts. If we go back to 6, and the walls of Jericho come tumbling down, it's exciting. It's probably got to be one of the top 10 greatest stories in the Old Testament. And just so exciting. But 7, but. Israel has sinned. So I'm going to go back to that. The next question is, have you ever been in a group, maybe at school or something, that because of one person, everybody gets in trouble? Well, I was that one person in fifth grade. All right, Miss Severns, our teacher, started this thing called Market Days, and we could, at lunch on Fridays, we could sell little things, and she gave us play money. You could have a partner by yourself. Some people sold cookies or pot holders they made. My friend Marty, who I'm still friends with, did architect drawings, and you could tell her what your house was going to look like. Now, my friend Becky Sumner and I, who I'm still real good friends with, we sold little things. And we did great. I mean, anyone who knows me knows I'm the queen of little things. I love little things. But we were like, we're not making enough money because we want to spend. So we decided to make our own money. And we were passing it out. And Miss Severance came in the room and she saw it. And she said, that's it. Everyone to your desks, head down. Market day's over. No more market day for anybody. And, of course, we were sent to the principal's office. And may I add, again, I was very familiar with that place. But because of me, I ruined it for everybody else. And that is basically the story here. But I'm just going to give you a little recap on chapter 7, starting at 6 a little bit. And the walls of Jericho, the Battle of Jericho, God tells them what to do, walk around 6 times, 7 times the horn, and they are not to take anything except for the gold, the silver, the bronze, and the iron, and that is to go in the Lord's treasury. They go in, the soldiers, it's an amazing battle. They're high-fiving it. Look at us. This is amazing. We're done. This is great. Let's move on to the next one. So the next city is Ai, and they send 2 spies out, and they come back, and they're like, piece of cake, look what we already did. I don't think you need that many people, maybe 2,000, 3,000. Joshua sends 3,000 out, and Joshua's not done that far along, and he hears all these feet come running in. They've been defeated, and they're running in, and 36 people have died in that. And Joshua then, with the elders, they tear their clothes, they go on the ground, and they're just praying and praying. And the Lord finally says, get up. Israel has sinned. I'm not going to be with you until this sin is found out. So he calls all of Israel together, he tells them, and he takes them tribe by tribe, clan by clan, family by family, and man by man. And Achan is left, and he, Joshua says, give glory to the Lord and confess your sin. And Achan does. And of course, we know the story that in the end, the soldiers go and get everything, and Achan is his family, livestock, everything, stoned to death. Well, what are the lessons we learn from this passage? Because it's pretty deep and dark. 1. Always go to the Lord for everything in prayer. In Philippians 4:6, do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, prayer and petition and thanksgiving, present your request to the Lord, to God. And the peace of God that transcends all understandings will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. At the end of chapter 6, I'm going to need these. The end of chapter 6, Joshua, with the fall of Jericho, it was as though Israel was taking credit for the victory and not giving God the glory. We are also so quick to take credit away from God when something good goes our way. A story I always think about, the man's on the roof and he realizes he's going to fall and he's like, God, help me. And all of a sudden he lands on this big nail and he's like, ah, oh, I'm so glad that nail was there to save me. So, you know, the Lord, we should take everything to the Lord in prayer and not forget to thank him. The next battle for the city in Ai, Joshua sent 3,000 men into the city, and they were defeated and chased out. You know what? It would not have mattered if they had sent 100,000, because God was not with them. They went their own way first, and then they cry out to God. So Joshua goes to prayer. We can relate to this. We forget God, and then when things go wrong, we go to him and ask him for help. In the case of Joshua and the elders, they went on and on for hours in prayer. It seemed to me that Joshua is whining to God. Why did you bring defeat on us? We should have stayed on the other side of Jordan. Other kings will see this, and it doesn't make God look good. I am personally so quick to blame God rather than going to him in prayer and praise. Proverbs 19:3, a person's own folly leads to their own ruin, yet their heart rages against the Lord. God is patient with us, but only for so long. Israel sinned again and again, and this led to their 40 years in the wilderness. If we look back on chapter 6, God gave instructions to Joshua on how to take the city of Jericho. Joshua and his men were told by God not to take anything. After the battle of Ai and the defeat, God says that I am not going to be with you because there is sin in the camp. There is no such thing as a secret sin. We will find out in chapter 7 today what a secret sin is. In Luke 8:17, for nothing is secret that will not be revealed, anything hidden that will not be known and come to light. God tells Joshua and all of Israel to inquire on them, tribe by tribe, clan by clan, family by family, man by man, to discover where the sin is. Now, how does this apply to our lives? If you are one of his, God will root out the sin in your life. Your sin will find you out. In the case of Israel, it comes down to one man, Achan, which, by the way, his name means troubler. You could say that he literally brought trouble on Israel. There is a famous poem by Sir Walter Scott, and he says in it, "Oh, what a tangled web we weave when first we practice to deceive." Seemed to me that God was giving, this is me, Achan every opportunity to step forward and confess his sin. It reminded me of the story of Jonah. God told him to go to Nineveh and tell them that they would be destroyed because of their wickedness. They repented, and as a consequence, God did not destroy them. We tend to think that my sin is not hurting anybody. Nobody knows about it, But my sin hurts the whole body, large or small. My son Andy is a carpenter, and he recently smashed his thumb, had to get 5 stitches. So I called him that night and said, "How you doing?" He said, "Mom, my whole body hurts. Your thumb, your whole body." And that's what sin does, the whole body. When Achan came forward and confessed, I loved how Joshua was so gentle with him. Achan's sin is like the age-old sin of Adam and Eve. I saw it, I wanted it, and then I took it. He saw the beautiful Babylonian robe, 200 coins of silver, the wedge of gold. He saw it, he wanted it, and he took it. Now, what was he going to do with this Babylonian robe? And where was he going to spend the money? The robe was most likely a royal king's robe. Now, what does he say when he wears it? Oh, this old thing? Achan took them. He buried them under his tent, and he keeps getting worse. This is what secret sin does to us. Like the sin of King David and Bathsheba, it kept getting deeper and deeper. It gets worse, and it hurts all of us around us, the ripple effect. In Psalm 22:14, David cries out, I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart has turned to wax. It is melted within me. The sin of Achan got so deep that it cost Israel 36 innocent soldiers. He brought the death sentence on himself and his whole family. When Achan confessed, and Joshua says to give glory to the Lord and confess your sins, it reminds me of Psalm 51, where David says, create in me a pure heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. Do not cast me from your presence or take your Holy Spirit from me. Restore in me the joy of your salvation and grant me a willing spirit to sustain me. The same that Joshua said to Achan applies to all of us today. Give glory to the Lord and confess your sin. It does not mean that there will not be consequences. But nonetheless, it is the road to restoration for our relationship with God. In Achan's case, he and his whole family were stoned. In the New Testament, God sent his only son to take on our sin. He went to the cross to take the stoning we all deserved. In 2 Corinthians 5:21, God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. In 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just and will forgive our sins and purify us from all unrighteousness. What incredible hope and victory we have in Christ, dying for our sins so that we might have life. This chapter ends with the stoning of Achan and his family, but this is not the end. So interesting enough, Achan came from the tribe of Judah. The tribe of Judah is in the line of Jesus. And in the book of Hosea, chapter 2, verse 15, we read the following little verse. I will give her back her vineyard, and I will make the valley of Achan, a door of hope. There she will respond as the days of her youth, as the day she came out of Egypt. A door of hope. This is our salvation. And I want to end with the words to one of my favorite hymns. Before the throne of God above, I have a strong and perfect plea, a great high priest whose name is love, who ever lives and pleads for me. My name is graven on his hands. My name is written on his heart. I know that while in heaven he stands, no tongue can bid me hence depart. when Satan tempts me to despair and tells me of the guilt within, of word I look and see him there who made an end to all my sin, because the sinless Savior died, my sinful soul is counted free, for God is just, is satisfied that took on him and pardoned me. All right. Thank you.